T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan on The Fan.
All right, 10:03 on The Fan, and a very good Friday morning to you. The midday show. We are live and in living color from the Palm West Side here on the 250 West 50th Street here in Midtown Manhattan. And Joe and Evan live from the Palm West Side is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by the Palm West Side, the classic Italian steakhouse. Matt Casey and the great Tommy Lugauer back at the shop down on Hudson Street. Bro, how are you?
Oh.
Big football Friday here.
Let me tell you.
I'm looking at these uniforms again from last night, the Ram-Niner game, which turned out to be a pretty good game, but the uniforms are just crazy.
I didn't mind them last night. Maybe I didn't mind them because the football was actually fun to watch.
Yeah.
And like we all expected. I mean, I think all of us expected 80 points to be scored between the two teams.
Oh, yeah.
I think all of us expected Brian Hoyer to actually look like an NFL quarterback.
He didn't look too much like it on the first series of the game.
No. No.
Not too good there.
It's funny. On the first play of the game,
yep,
when Brian Hoyer should have thrown a pick six, and instead it was down on like the 1 or 2 yard line, and then a play later, I think it was Todd Gurley got in the end zone for the first of 3 times he got in there, you figured, oh, this is going to be ugly. I mean, this Niner offense is going to be ugly, and Brian Hoyer may be pulled for C.J. Beathard by like the second quarter. But, and I think a lot of it was because the Rams special teams really gave the Niners opportunities early in the game. They were punting, and the Rams were called for offsides, and it allowed the Niners to get an automatic first down, or it was 4th and 3, so that's how they got the first down, and then they marched down and scored a touchdown. Then you had a turnover on a punt that was muffed, and then late in the game, they actually recovered an onside kick, the easiest onside
kick. They didn't get two. They went for two and didn't get it.
Well, the reason they went for two is because Robbie Gould, who was hitting field goals all night, missed an extra point, and I think what happened last night is Gold misses the extra point, so now you're chasing the extra point. And give the Niners credit. The fact they were even in position to tie that game was kind of stunning. You know, you watch this game, and give the Rams credit for that because they made those mistakes that gave the Niners an opportunity. But Carlos Hyde looked good on the ground, and Brian Hoyer was throwing the deep ball.
Yeah, you did, definitely.
Brian Hoyer in the second half looked like an NFL quarterback.
He did. I agree with you.
It's crazy. Now, that's not going to last.
Well,
they'll be gone by week 6.
I mean, we're playing the Rams. Although, I will say this about the Rams, and I heard a stat. I think maybe Boomer said it. The Rams now have been over 40 points. The two games they won this year, they went over 40 points both times. Obviously, the Colts and the Niners.
Sure.
I mean, you know, not exactly two powerhouse teams. But with that said, like 8 years since they scored 40 points in a game?
They scored.
Are you kidding me?
More
Something
points,
like that.
I think in the two games that you're talking about, in the two victories, than Jared Goff's led offense scored in the entire 7 weeks where he led them last year.
I believe it.
Now, you're right.
Completely believe it.
Are they helped out by the opponent? Sure.
Right, right.
But you got to beat who's on your schedule. Here's the one problem I have. Because I didn't know, and you said this yesterday, like, I don't know how much of this game I'm going to watch. We'll see. And I said, look, if the game's entertaining and it's close, I'll keep watching. So I kept watching. And I found myself rooting for the Niners simply as a Jet fan. Thinking
you want them to get beyond the Jets for the number one pick.
Yeah, just in case.
I get that.
You know, Jets go 1-15 or 0-16. Got to get the Niners a win or two.
Right.
Or 3.
Right.
I got that bet with Costello.
Right.
So I'm rooting for them. You know, why not? Nothing against the guys on that team. And what killed me was they recovered this onside kick. And when they recovered the onside kick, you're thinking, oh, my God, they're going to win this game.
Right, right.
They're set up at the 50-yard line. Robbie Gould's going to redeem himself. I had full confidence. All they really need to do is go 20 yards, and they could set Gould up. Game-winning field goal, good night. Bad loss for the Rams. Great win for the Niners. Robbie Gould redeems himself. Everybody's happy. And I think it was on 3rd down. They have a 3rd and 10, and there's a reception for a 1st down. No big deal. Everybody's happy. The Niners have advanced the football. They're going to have it at the 40-yard line. And all of a sudden, the flag is thrown. And you're like, well, what's going on here? And they called offensive pass interference on this Trent Taylor. And they showed one replay.
There is no offensive pass interference, Joe. It was a horrific call. It was a bogus call, and it cost them the game because they're set up with first down on the 40. All they now have to do is go how many yards to be set up for a game-winning field goal. They push them back 10. Now it's 4th and 20. Good night. Or 3rd and 20. Good night.
Yeah.
And then it was 4th and 20.
Hey, look, you know
what?
It was over. You don't have to get me started on officiating. I mean, to me, you know, there's time. Sometimes you just got to let it go.
Yes.
You just have to. When the game is on the line, you just. I said this for years. My biggest issue with the NFL officiating is that it's these guys are like letter of the law. You can't be letter of the law officiating every minute of a game, in my mind. You just can't be.
But you know what? And you're not wrong with what you're saying. But in this case, there was no law broken.
No, I understand.
He wasn't,
I understand.
You know what? This wasn't he was going 60 and a 50. He was going 50
right,
and
right,
a 50.
Right, right, right.
There was
right,
zero offensive right, well, pass interference. And for that to be called at any point in the game, let alone that point in the game, I don't want to say it completely ruined the night because it was still entertaining. Right, it was 3 hours of good football when nobody expected
right,
good football.
A lot of points.
A lot of points.
Hope you bet the over. I'm sure the under was the. I didn't see the over under. I'm sure it wasn't too high.
The over under was 40 and a half.
Wow.
So it was cleared by the Rams.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. Right.
It was cleared by just them.
Right,
and the Niners should have cleared
right,
it.
Right, right.
But that was a terrible, terrible call. There were some other bad calls in this game.
Look at the stupid stat they're putting up on the TV.
I don't. What are we watching?
The most points ever scored in the Thursday night game. Come on.
NFL Network.
How many years have you been doing this? Stop.
Well, you know what is... It's usually not interesting. The only reason I would find it interesting is that we just watched Rams 49ers.
No, I understand that. I get that. But come on.
No,
talk about a wasteless statistic.
But you know what?
Worthless, I should say.
When they do that with Monday Night Football, even though that's been around for a million years, that's kind of worthless, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a random game on a Monday
right,
night.
Right, right.
Like, what does it really mean?
Right.
But there were some other bad calls in this game. The good thing was they were erased by challenges by Coach Shanahan. There were two non-catches, if I'm not mistaken, that were both overturned. He got them both right with the challenge flag and the officials overturned it, but I don't want to sit here complaining about the officials all the time. I just thought they really changed the game because we're looking at a very different conclusion than what we got if they just keep the stupid flag in their pocket.
We only started week three. It's only game one of week three.
Yeah.
We have, you know, basically everybody's got 14 games for the most part except the Rams and the Niners to go. Expect a lot more lousy officiating.
I do expect
the worst when it comes to the NFL officials, and you're not going to be disappointed.
And as far as the Rams are concerned, give them credit. They're 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
Granted, we know who the two wins came against.
Yep. Still.
Still, you got to
beat
them.
It's an NFL win. You take it.
I don't fully buy him yet. You know, Aaron Donald really didn't do much in this game. He did seal the victory with a sack. But
saw that.
And what did you say, Ernie? Collinsworth, basically, at the end of the game, is saying, what a dominant performance by Aaron Donald. No, it wasn't.
Did he say that?
And he's a Hall of Famer? Well, he may be someday, but not yet. It was not a dominant performance by Aaron Donald. But he did have the sack to end the game. I don't buy the Rams, but I will say Jared Goff, man, he looks good.
Hey, maybe. Hey, they put some points up. There's no doubt about that. So, I mean, we'll see where they go from here. But give them credit. Like you said, they're 2-1. Beat two teams that aren't very good. But, you know, still, with that said, you know, you give them credit for that. No doubt about it.
It's going to come down to how they do against, like, Seattle.
Of course.
If they're going to win this division.
Of course.
And they play them in 2 weeks. They have Dallas next week, so they have Dallas and Seattle. So certainly a step up in competition. I don't know about the Arizona Cardinals. They've been very unimpressive in their first two games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about them.
I don't know.
They barely got by the Colts. They were down 10-0. They barely won the game in overtime.
Yeah, you have a bad combination that.
And had that lead in the game against Detroit. Remember, they lost David Johnson, too.
Well, that's it. I think the injury to David Johnson and the fact that Carson Palmer is Carson Palmer and he's old now.
Right.
You combine those two things, I don't know how good they are. And we'll see what they do against Dallas. They're playing on Monday night. But
I think their defense misses Todd Bowles as the defensive coordinator. And I think maybe you should go back.
You make that trade?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You take anything back for Todd Bowles.
Oh, my God.
You take whatever you want back.
Please.
A conditional 7.
Whatever you want to do.
A conditional
exactly
7.
Exactly right.
But as far as the local teams are concerned, the one thing that really stinks about this weekend is they're both playing at the same
terrible.
Time.
I mean, that's absurd. Why are they both? Can you answer that question to me?
No.
There was a time when you would never see the two teams playing in New York at the same time.
I know.
And I think it's not the only time it's happening this year.
It's happening in 2 weeks.
A number of times, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks from now it's happening again.
Unbelievable.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all.
Because, like, most of us watch both. Not just us, it's guys on air.
Well, my game plan is this. Obviously, I'm going to watch the Jet game, and what I'll do is I'll have to DVR the Giant game.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's what I'm going to do.
What else can you do?
You can't.
And the late game we're getting, if you don't have the ticket, is Oakland-Denver.
Yeah.
Nance and Romo.
Right.
So you get a chance to hear those guys.
Right, right.
But going into this weekend, first with the Giants, I mean.
Isn't it Buffalo-Denver this week? Buffalo plays Denver.
Oh, am I looking at the wrong
schedule?
Yeah,
you're looking at the wrong
schedule. Oh, I jumped ahead 2 weeks.
The Raiders played the Sunday night game against Washington.
I pulled up that 506 Sports. They do a great job with, like, the
I think the Packers are the late game.
Isn't I think
Green Bay Bengals?
I think it is. You're right.
It,
I think you're right about that, I'm already looking ahead to October
1st. Yeah, I know. I understand.
I'm jumping ahead. I know that Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts has Pittsburgh-Baltimore. So if you're planning your announcer schedule.
Oh, in 2 weeks, you mean?
In two, in a couple of weeks.
And who's doing the Jet game this week? Like the Q team is doing it,
I think
right?
So. Hold on, let me pull it up.
Did you say it was Tasker and Berline?
Yes, Tasker and Berline.
There you go.
That's correct, yeah.
Right. That's like the Q team.
Ian and Fouts have Houston, New England.
Right.
And that's the that's what, like, I guess most of the country basically
and
has.
Romo and Romo and Nance are doing Buffalo, Denver? Is that the game they're doing?
Romo and Nance are doing Cincinnati, Green Bay.
Oh, Cincinnati. I'm sorry. Okay. So that's the national game we're getting anyway.
Yeah. It's tough, though, as a Giant fan to feel very confident going into Sunday. I mean, well, you've heard this week from Ben McAdoo is borderline on delusion. And even yesterday with Eric Flowers. Eric Flowers met the media and said, I think I did a lot of good things in this game.
Did
except
really
for a couple
that?
Of bad plays.
Now, did he say that?
He did.
Now, come on, he didn't say that.
I'm not making it up.
What's wrong with these? You know, it's all. You know, did they think? Here's what kills me about, you know, coaches, players, whatever it may be. Do they really think that we are just stupid people?
Yes, we're dumb.
I mean, we sit there, we watch these games. We've been watching football for a million years, you know, however old you are, however long you've been watching it. And you're watching these games faithfully, and you see what's going on. And then they try to sell you this nonsense that what you saw isn't really what happened. I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, seriously, who the hell is kidding who? I mean, Eric Flowers has got to come out and say, hey, you know what? I stunk last week.
That's the only approach you
Ziggy
can have.
Ziggy Ansah just went by me again. Enough.
You know, Paul Dottino actually made a very good point yesterday when we were talking about Flowers.
Was that before or after the game film?
was that before or after
Dottino watched all the game film?
During, after,
right, well,
before.
Whatever. But he was charting plays.
And this is critical of Eric Flowers, by the way. So Paul wasn't making an interesting point when he was defending him.
Peter King's on Good Morning Football.
Peter King's everywhere. Okay. He's going to be with us at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. He's all over the place.
He's coming in here?
No, on the phone probably.
Okay.
And we don't mean the congressman Peter King.
No,
we mean football Peter
King.
No,
of course.
But he said that, look, Eric Flowers wasn't good last year. We all know that. You would have thought that at worst-case scenario, he would just be the same player.
Right,
just not that good.
Right, right.
But in the first 2 weeks, he's been worse. And that is tough to explain. It's his third year in the league now. He supposedly worked really hard this offseason. I don't question that. I don't question his work ethic.
I'm not saying, look, I mean, the guy's trying out there. I'm not saying he's not trying.
He's doing MMA. He's doing all
whatever
this work.
Whatever he's doing.
How Joe and Dottino even said, I agree with him. The worst-case scenario, you thought, all right, he'll be the same lousy left tackle. He's been worse, despite what he says and despite what McAdoo says. He's been worse. How does that happen?
Look, like I said to Dottino yesterday, maybe the bottom line in Eric Flowers is he's just not any good. I mean, you know, I don't care how hard you work, how much time you put in, how much effort. If you're not that good, if you don't have the talent, that's the bottom line.
You're right, but how do you get worse?
Look.
How does that happen?
A lot of guys got worse.
Yeah, but not from age 24 to 25.
Didn't we see Mark Sanchez get worse?
That's true.
All right. I mean, what happened to him? I mean, he was actually a decent quarterback for a couple of years. It went south fast. I mean, it happened.
I think there were other circumstances with that.
But that just, I understand that. But I'm just saying, but we've seen this happen. He's not the first guy to do this happen.
Hey, the guy I brought up to, I think it was last Friday, sitting here at the quarterback position is Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Like, he's gotten worse.
Oh, my God.
Now, I think I think with him, there are circumstances, too. I don't think the offensive line is good. They lost Whitworth, who probably should be a Giant right now, but whatever.
But he's not.
He's not.
Right.
So I think there are circumstances. But what would be the circumstances that would lead to Eric Flowers being worse right now?
I can't give you an answer. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Doesn't make a lot of
sense.
And
I think what happens is as you play poorly, the confidence level goes backwards. You know, and now you're starting to lose confidence, and now you're really in trouble.
Well, his confidence should be high. Again, he had a good game except for three or four bad plays. Just ask Eric Flowers. He was okay. We're all morons.
It's kind of like when they were asking Bowles about Darren Lee. Oh, I mean, he did a lot of good things in his game. He did? What? He didn't get hurt when he got pancaked for the eighth time? I mean, what did he do?
We will talk to Peter King later on. Carl Banks will be with us live here from Palm Westside. We'll make our NFL picks. Coming up next, one of the great nose tackles when he played football.
Oh, he was one of the best.
Patriots and the Texans. Yep. He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I tell you, he's right there. He's certainly in the conversation for a Hall of Famer.
No doubt. That's Vince Wilfork. He'll join us coming up next. Beningo and Roberts on a Football Friday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.